Hello and welcome, Banter on the Rocks listeners. You can find every one of our weekly episodes on Apple Podcast and YouTube. Grab your favorite drink and enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Banter on the Rocks. We got John here, Pina, myself. We got Tim. We're here for another great episode. We just finished watching some Monday Night Football, some sports this weekend. So a lot to talk about on our episode today. We have our NFL hot takes, and we have a few hot takes. Again, 49ers is going to be a big topic of discussion, but much more. We got MLB playoffs. We had some great games. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've been watching a lot more of this P. Diddy news, so we want to touch a little bit more of what we've seen and just our thoughts and just how crazy a lot of the information we're getting is, and if it's true, it's insane. So we'll talk about that, and then we're also going to bring up some conspiracy talk and about the dead internet. So if you guys don't know about the dead internet, we'll share a little bit about it. I think Tim's more of an expert than I am, but it's very interesting stuff and some freaky stuff as well. So got a lot for our episode today. But before we get started with the episode, we'll share our drinks as always. Banter on the Rocks, we like to take our little drinks. And today I'm almost done with my bottle of tequila, but I'm doing a tequila and a strawberry orange juice. So I did a one part tequila, so one shot tequila and two shots of this Aloha made orange juice, which is really good. My last bottle. My last can, so I gotta see if Costco has some more. Gotta stock up on them. But yeah, that's my drink
Love
today.
that. Yeah, I remember when you first mentioned that. I still haven't been back to Costco, and I definitely need to specifically to pick those up because that looks really good. I'm being, I don't know if we want to call it boring, but I have tons more Jack and some Coke chilling in the fridge. So I'm just going to do the same thing, Jack and Coke, but
Jack and Coke.
still repping the glass.
Yeah,
Absolutely love
repping
this
the
thing.
guns.
Get it more in the light. Yep. But yeah, cheers to you, John. Happy to be on with another episode here.
Cheers. Cheers, Tim. Always good. So before we get
Absolutely.
started, but before we get started with all our content, all our topics today, we want to share a little bit about a collaboration we have. We're collaborating with Find the Good, and we're becoming brand ambassadors, so you can see from my shirt. What's so great about this shirt, at least, it's embroidered. That's what I like. It's not something that's going to wear off after you wash so many times. It's going to stay on. So really great quality shirts. I enjoy it, feel cool in it, even on some hot days. But we found Find the Good brand on Instagram, and their message of just finding the good in your day-to-day, to help, people's mental health and well-being really resonated with us. They were founded in March of 2020, and if you think about where the world was back in 2020, it was that COVID world. We were all remote, not being able to go out, and I think a lot of us needed to find good throughout our days during those tough times. In our and now nowadays in our day to day, we always look to find the good. What we also like about Find the Good brand, and why we wanted to collaborate with them, was all of their purchases, they give back to the Mental Health of America Foundation. So 10% of all purchases go back to, supporting mental health, finding support for those that really need it. So it's an awesome organization. And for me, finding the good message really helped me through some tough times mentally. And it's for me, it's more most recently with my Bell's palsy. When I first got it, I was really depressed, really down, just because of how I looked and how I talked. And when I looked at that message of finding the good, it really just hit me. And I really started focusing on my mental health, focusing on my happiness and health in general. And, I found the good in the time I spent with my kiddo, with my family, in the work I do outside of the podcast and in podcasting, with Tim, and any time we could come on video and record, It just makes my day and really makes me feel happy. And that's a big wealth that I really appreciate, and the message that they have.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's fantastic, John. And family cures a lot of things, just being around them, having that support. I think that's an excellent point, and definitely speaks true, to the brand and the mental health awareness Find the Good brings up. And we definitely encourage, everybody out there just to go find the good in life. Certain things can bring, happiness. There's things like money brings a lot, obviously, can bring more opportunity. But I feel like, at least personally, and I'm sure John feels the same way, especially with what he just mentioned, health and happiness can really come from family, friends, and just surrounding yourself with people who are supportive and, kind of enable you to feel that true happiness, going out and finding, fun activities. Me for one, work can be a lot during the week. And, weekends, I'm always looking for a way to get out and, go to a park with our kids. Just there's many places that we could go. But the biggest thing is just getting out, enjoying the sunlight, seeing the light of day. It truly makes all the difference in the world. So definitely preach that sentiment that John brought about. And it makes tough days feel good, and everybody goes through them. Everybody can relate to them. So it's just really important to prioritize mental health in general. And one other thing, along with that is, through all of this, obviously John, he's looking fresh in that shirt right now. The embroidered, graphics on it is huge, because a lot of times we can buy things and wears out quickly. So definitely not the case here. And be sure to use our link to buy some merch, spread the message of Find the Good, especially in everybody's life. So that code is banter805, and that's a 10% off of your next order. So John, I'm sure he'll definitely link it in the bio. And yeah, it's again, it's a great cause. We're thrilled to be able to be a part of this company, and it's definitely a great message and something that we really support.
No, I'm excited to collaborate with Find the Good. So yeah, you guys check it out. Use our code, 10% off for yourself and 10% back to Mental Health of America. Great causes. So awesome. But yeah, we wanted to share that. We'll continue sharing that, about our experience with Find the Good and just how we find the good every day. But one way we find the good is with our podcast, talking about sports, talking about whatever what's going on. And one of the first thing is NFL hot takes. Big week of NFL, a lot of good games, some dud games, but I think we have a lot of hot takes. And one that I brought to the table that I sort of want to talk about was, is Aaron Rodgers still an elite quarterback? He played a team that I think they should have beat pretty easily, but they didn't, and everybody thought Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets was going to be their savior. They have Garrett Wilson, they have a great defense, they have Breece Hall, who didn't even show up this last game. So my thing is, like, is Aaron Rodgers still elite? And should Davante Adams even consider coming to the Jets if, he's asking for a trade? Should he even come there? Is it worth it for him to even win a ring? What are your thoughts, Tim?
For sure, I do not think he's elite anymore. Definitely not top 100 worthy like he was in those rankings this past offseason. Definitely bogus there. And a lot of that, it kind of seems like he's holding on to those years, those last few years that he had with the Packers that were really kind of bleh, subpar. Really seems like it's transitioned over to the Jets. He seems no different. Certainly his body is breaking down. We saw him momentarily leave the game, or at least getting roughed up and just walking gingerly to the sideline. Obviously that knee is bothering him. And I don't know, if you even look at him, he just looks kind of, I don't know what a great word for it. He just looks kind of small. He doesn't look like football shape in a way. He just looks older, and it's just not adding up, and there's no flow to that offense. And It's rough. I think the expectations certainly aren't being met. How do you feel, John?
I feel the same way. I don't think the expectations are being met. You know, this was supposed to be the team. What happened to the Bills losing Stephon Diggs? You know, I think the Jets and the Dolphins were supposed to lead that, you know, division right there, and they're not even, you know, unfortunately, Dolphins lost Tua. Without Tua, they're nothing. But the Jets, they had Aaron Rodgers. That's who they thought was the missing piece, you know. But he was looking like Zach Wilson last year, not really doing much. One hot take I had with this, I'm like, Joe Flacco's doing a lot better job than Aaron Rodgers right now, you know. And people always bag on Joe Flacco. You know, I did for a bit when he wasn't on the Ravens, but the way he, you know, sort of kept the Colts in yesterday shows that he's so elite, and he's done it on different teams. He did it with the Browns last year towards the end of the year. I think he helped get them into the playoffs, not Deshaun Watson. That's a whole other topic, and I think we're both on the same page. He just needs to be cut. But let's say I think Flacco's doing a lot better job as one of those old veteran quarterbacks than Aaron Rodgers. But I think a lot of his offseason stuff too, going, I don't even know what he does. His weird off-season routine. It might just be messing with him nowadays.
Yeah, ayahuasca trips, you know. I go find a cave somewhere, a darkness retreat. You know, it's obviously not, I don't think it's paying off,
No.
but hey, do what makes you happy, you know. And I totally blew off your second part of your question, which is a super important one with Devontae Adams. No, absolutely not with the Jets. It's a big no. I think that's a bigger train wreck than he's already at with the Raiders. You know, definitely, you know, not the best. That Edgar Allan Poe picture, maybe hinting at your Ravens, John. You know,
I saw
that seems like a
that.
real possibility.
I saw that, and if it happens, I'll be excited. You know, I'm just curious what we'll give up, because I feel giving up that second round and more, for a one, I think he only has like 1 year on his contract left. And is it really worth it when we're doing solid? You know, we came back yesterday down 10 in the fourth, you know, to beat the Bengals, yeah, they're 1-4, but they are one of the top scoring teams. They're still a very dangerous team to reckon with. So, you know, will Devontae Adams make a big difference? I think he would, but is it really worth giving up a lot when we're playing great football? You know, I think there's a lot of teams that could use him. Like I said, Saints, I think, were always a thought because of Derek Carr, that, you know, college reunion. I've heard 49ers. We'll talk a little bit about them. I don't know who else might benefit from Adams. What do you think, Tim?
Definitely not a divisional trade with the Chiefs. Don't think that's going to happen at this point in time.
No.
Why bother with somebody like the Browns? Definitely the Browns are somebody I want to talk about too, by the way. I just want to roast them. You know, another one that maybe comes to mind. I know it was a tough loss this past week, but I don't know, Steelers. You know,
Stealer.
it's maybe a possibility of winning that division. The record still holds decent value, but that offense is kind of rough. That defense holds them down. You know, I think the biggest destination, if he wants to go somewhere and win right now, it just seems like the Ravens. You know, the Niners, honestly, we could trade somebody for him. But I think it's just kind of rough with trying to think about, you know, who would we give up, and you know, what we would we kind of formulate to get him. Don't really know exactly if that holds true. Local radio seems to think otherwise. It seems like it's not going to happen. Why bother? But we'll see. I'm definitely interested in that. And then also, second to that, with the Browns, you mentioned them earlier. And there's one key point that I wanted to bring up this podcast. Well, actually, maybe two. Number one is the deal with Watson walking off the field, fourth and goal. You're down huge, and it totally goes against what his coaches wanted him to do. That was a terrible look.
That's
Coach looks
horrible.
fed up. Players look fed up. Nobody's backing him up. And the Browns, on top of that, look like complete idiots because I found out today that they didn't even bother offering him
Oh, really?
Joe Flacco a contract this past offseason with all he did for him. Imagine you could bench Watson right now and have Flacco to back up. Much different situation, in my opinion.
I think even their who's their backup? I just had it in my mind. I'm blanking. Jameis Winston,
It's
right?
it
Isn't it
is Jameis.
Winston?
Yep.
Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston would do a lot better job than Deshaun Watson. You know, that fourth and goal, Jameis Winston would have put his body on the line just to make that play happen. And that shows a true team player, a true captain and a leader in that locker room. And Deshaun Watson, like if I was on that team, that was my QB, that's supposed to be the leader of every single team, I'd be like, I'm done. Like, you guys got to make a switch because he's not doing anything to help them. Like I said, they have solid players. They have a good core team, but I think it's the QB that's holding them down. And you know, I read a report that, you know, the coach is just having him play because the owner wants him to play. You know, that's who the owner wanted as a QB, and it's like, all right, well, if this is what you want, this is what you're gonna get. But at the same time, like, why do that to the fans? Why do that to your, you know, the franchise? Like, I think it's time to bench him, put Jameis Winston in, and just see what happens. Like, because it can't get any worse than what it is right now, I think.
I completely agree. And in my opinion, that is at the very minimum a top three worst contract of all time for NFL in NFL history. Absolutely awful. Hasn't performed a day he's been there and brought just more baggage of his accusations along with him. And his attitude is terrible. The dude hasn't learned a thing, obviously. I mean, good riddance. I'm not even a fan of that franchise, but I can only imagine the fan base. It's pretty outrageous. It doesn't even my anger towards my Niners does not match that. I will say that if he was my QB and somebody paid him that amount of money, I'd be even more livid. But kind of moving into the Niners, hot mess this last weekend. Another
Was.
blown lead. I kind of brought back my loss up, hashtag boss up commentary back, just because it's still valid. Like, we're still losing leads. Moody going down did us no favors. I know I roasted him, but obviously we need a kicker. And Shanahan wasn't even having any part of letting our punter try more than the one he made. And I don't know, O-line got worked. Mason had a costly fumble within the 20-yard line. We're missing CMC, obviously. Besides that, Mason had a decent game, running the ball. There's no doubt about it. Ayuk showed up, but shout out Jimmy, another week, no touchdown catch. So, it's we're just gonna run into some obstacles. But hey, a lot of the division lost, minus the Cardinals. So, there's that. We're
And
hanging in
no,
there.
I think there's still a lot of concerns. I think I texted you when we saw Ayuk's game. I told you what would it take to for Ayuk to have a good game in your mind. You said 150 yards at least if he didn't get a touchdown. What was it? 146, I think he got. No touchdown, so he didn't meet the expectation, right?
Not
So
quite.
gar
Not
garbage game,
quite. Nope.
Ayuk. That's what we're
It
going to
was a
consider a
complete
garbage game.
waste.
Yeah, but I think overall, you know, 49ers are still a great team. I think they've just been unlucky with injuries. Like I said, CMC being out, I think what the Niners have to hope for is CMC coming back and the team just getting on that page. But I think they're still a very dangerous team to reckon with because they could turn it on immediately. Next week they could have one of the best games ever because they got the quality players. They got, you know, a good coaching staff. Like I said, as long as the coaching staff stays on the plan and they don't shoot themselves in the foot, it's a solid team. But yeah, I unfortunate to see them lose to the Cardinals. That's another game I think they should have won. But I did see that the last 2 years when they made the the NFC Championship, they weren't really winning all their games. They started out like 3-4, 2-3. So it's on par to what you guys have done in the past. We'll see how you guys do this second half, or the next 2 to 3 months.
It's definitely a valid point. You definitely made me feel a lot better with that video you sent me. it's kind of like saying there is a chance. It's and also shout out Estevan. He did bring that up yesterday about how we are a second half team. It's true. We'll go on these like losing streaks early, then all of a sudden we'll win 6, 7 in a row. Well, and we're playing out of our minds. Everything's clicking, and hey, first 5 weeks, there's a ton of football left. Always still a chance. But we'll see. Luckily, the division isn't ultra competitive this year. But time's a ticking, to say the least. It's pretty brutal. But hey, worse things could happen. I think for the most part, we escaped healthy. And kind of speaking of just defense and teams in general. Vikings defense and just that team altogether kind of flipped the page this past week, right?
They
Like
did.
that defense was holding it down. I know they've been great all year, but Darnold's been much of the talking point. But Darnold kind of an off week and they still pull it off.
I think the Vikings defense show that it's not just the Sam Darnold show, it's them too. They kept that team in, and they won, staying undefeated, which, like I say, I don't think anybody predicted that with the Vikings. So, I think in that division we had Packers, Bears, coming up on top, and now Vikings are taking a big old lead that, I think with all these teams, the next 2 weeks are going to be pivotal. If you lose two games, it's going to be a hard challenge, a hard road back to just try to make the wild card. So, Vikings defense is the key. I know we try to have Richie. I think he was a little under the weather, so we'll try to have him another week to sort of see his insight. But yeah, I like the Vikings. I'm surprised. Exciting team to watch right now.
Yeah, and every time I think about the Vikings, I still think about how Harrison Smith is still playing. And he's still repping those elbow sleeves and he's holding it down. I mean, the defense is unreal. It's just kind of crazy. And that division is maybe just the best in the league right now. I don't think there's much competition for it. And hey, shout out Bears winning record again. Caleb turning it up these
Great,
last
great
couple
game.
weeks. He's throwing for a lot of yards and great game. Swift is turning it around there. Lions had a bye, right? Or they play tomorrow. Forget.
They had a bye.
On bye. Okay. Yeah. So, week off for them and, but I mean, Goff looks, he's playing out of his mind. That's going to be tough competition in general. But man, it's exciting. I look forward to a lot more of those divisional matchups kind of coming back. Jordan Love looked a lot better in the second half of that Rams game. He looked absolutely brutal in that first half. Yeah, that was kind of a tough watch. I did have clips of it because there was that game and the Niners game going on in the afternoon. And yeah, it's NFC's fun. And AFC on the other hand, I don't know. We kind of talked about it last week. It's not real strong.
No, it's not looking real strong, but I also think it's just teams aren't getting it together. Like I mentioned, the Bengals, they're 1-4, but they
Ooh.
have one of the top offenses. They're scoring touchdowns. They have a great QB who's, one of the top QBs in the league right now. It's just they're just not winning games. They're not closing out. So I think their defense needs a little bit of help. They have a solid defense. Their offense, like I say, Chase Brown has stepped up since Joe Mixon left. Ja'Marr Chase, he played an awesome game yesterday. I thought he was gonna win it for them and beat us, but and he's doing that because he's playing for a contract too. He's the way he's playing right now, he's gonna get it too. So, I think that's what's going on with the AFC. It's more It's more a lot of these teams haven't figured it out, but once they do, I think some of them could come back, like the Bengals. And it's mostly just the Bengals. Like I say, Pittsburgh, with Pittsburgh, I've always been a Justin Fields fan, but saw the game yesterday and I don't think he's the answer. I think he struggles with throwing accuracy. You know, I don't know what it is. I thought the change of scenario with Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin, it could have helped him, but he's still struggling. And you know, and that's a solid team too, because they have a great defense, you know, and a decent offense, you know, playmaker. So we'll see who comes out of the AFC. I think that's still up for grabs.
Definitely. Texans looked really good. I will say that. CJ Stroud played out of his mind. Nico Collins hurt again though after that really that deep bomb. I think it was like 64 yards. I was watching that game and that play was just incredible. That connection between the two of them is crazy. So if he's out with that hamstring an extended period of time, luckily they have two next men up, you know, with Diggs and Tank Dell. I mean, it's not like they're hurting too bad there. But you know, in general, another thing is too, I don't know if you saw this. Josh Allen, I think it was late third quarter, definitely got knocked out. He was sacked, whiplash, helmet hit the ground, went limp, goes to the sideline. Evidently gets checked out and is able to come back in the game. I don't know how he was able to come back in when it was that evident. Obviously, he checked out with team doctors, but I don't know. Did you watch that? Did you see that by
I
chance?
saw the replay of that and I was surprised that he came back in so quickly. Like I say, I gotta hope the doctors are doing the right thing for these players' health and not for stats wanting to win. Because, like I say, in the end, it's player health, you know, that matters. And the Bills should be one that know that really well with DeMar Hamlin, you know, what happened. So scary moment, but like I think we've seen it before too. There's some players that do come back from it. You know, they might get a, you know, go limp, get checked out, but they're okay. You know, pass all the concussion protocols, but like, you know, I think there should be a better role protecting players because who knows, you know, he might have passed all those protocols, but another hit could have made it a lot worse, you know. So
Yeah,
it's one of
absolutely,
those.
especially in that division. You know, just with what's gone on with Tua, you know, it's under a microscope. And you know, it's I saw a replay via, you know, commentary from like a doctor, you know, talking about just the hit itself and coming back in that soon. And you know, it just kind of goes against a lot of what the NFL is trying to advocate for with player safety. And yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of crazy to see him come back that quickly. But yeah, no, in general, AFC, we'll see how it shakes out. Obviously, your Ravens are playing really well. That was a hell of a comeback against the Bengals. Mark Andrews sighting,
A
you
little
know,
bit,
is he
a little bit.
kind of coming back a little bit, you know?
Maybe.
It I only that team can make three tight ends function.
We
It's
we've done it
crazy.
before. You know, I think we had Todd Heap, I forget who else. You know, we've had a lot of tight ends, you know, so it I they can make it work. John Harbaugh, he knows the team. And I think, you know, having all those tight ends, it makes it seem like you're going to be running the ball and then it gets one of them open. You just got to find the right one. And, you know, all three of them have stepped up. So, unfortunate for whoever took Mark Andrews because I think he was taken pretty high in fantasy drafts. But overall, for my team as a fan, I'm excited. I'm not going to hate.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's a win's a win. And I mean, hell of a win at that, too. Shout out that lady at that restaurant. She
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
jinxed the Bengals
I think she did.
talking shit to Lamar.
You can't be
And
doing
I
that
like
to
how
a
he points her
player.
out saying, nah, that came back to bite. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, no. And you know, you posed a great question in our notes here, John, of quarterbacks in general. Can you come up with like a team or two where you think that their starting quarterback situation. They just need to bench and, kind of scrap this year and move forward, maybe look at a QB in the draft.
One that comes to mind, but I think it's sort of having to figure out what's going on with their starting quarterback is Miami. I think they really have to evaluate the Tua situation. Is it smart to bring Tua back this year after this last concussion? Because that one looked bad. And then Huntley isn't doing it. It's like they have to make a trade for a quarterback that may be able to take him somewhere. Because you have Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle, you have Achane. I know Achane got banged up this weekend, but they have a great offense, and Huntley hasn't been able to do anything with that offense. So I'm like, unfortunate to say, I think he needs to be benched. We talked about it. The Browns, I just think Deshaun Watson, he just needs to go. And then after that, there isn't really a quarterback that sticks in my mind that needs to be benched. I think it's just the Carolina Panthers are just a horrible organization. And we thought Andy Dalton was going to make a change, and we saw it this week. Went back to the old Panthers, So those are my thoughts. I don't know. Do you think of anybody else, Tim?
And I'm going to come at you with you in the world a little bit of a hot take here.
Okay.
Not because I want to see this happen, because it would maybe benefit my team a little bit, but the LA Rams bench Matt Stafford. Sorry, try to go for this is totally outlandish, by the way. There's no rumors of this. It's just me yapping. And this is why I kind of think that as an organization, maybe they don't do it now, but I think they ought to think about it in the next couple of weeks. I think that their main wide receivers are out.
They're
It seems
out.
like an extended period of time. It doesn't seem like really the recovery is that great. I think I read something on Cooper Kupp. It's going to be several more weeks, if I'm not mistaken. It's not looking real great. The running game. Kyren's looking solid, I suppose, but just in general, like the team is underperforming. There's of course they had the win against my Niners, and I'm preaching for this now. It makes me look like a chump, but a big part of this too is if your record's really bad, you can go up in the draft as long as they have picks. I'm kind of thinking they do. I know McVay kind of traded a lot early on, but if they have some type of value in this upcoming draft, go for a QB, let them develop under Stafford next year and the years to come, and kind of turn them into something for the future. I think that's kind of a big point. I might be totally false on any of this being valid or true or coming to light, but I think Stafford, if I'm not mistaken, has 1 or 2 more years left on his contract, and within those 2 years he can help develop a new quarterback. And I just don't think it's a bad thing to look at. I don't know what McVay is going to do in the future. There was a lot of talks of him this past off season or a couple off seasons ago, trying to hit the booth and get into commentary, which I think he would be phenomenal at because his knowledge is insane. But he's still young. He can be there to develop a brand new LA Rams team, So, especially I think that team's really seeing the effects of Aaron Donald not being there. It's 1-4, loss against some, a Bears team that, they probably could have beaten typically, but I don't know. It's rough. I think
No.
it's something that they need to look at.
No, I think that's really valid. I just looked up, they do have their first round pick, so that could be a top pick this year.
There you go.
And when you were saying that, I was thinking Matt Stafford to the Dolphins. I think that would be a solid team right there. He has his wide receivers, he has that running back, defense a little shaky, but and then he has McDaniels, guru almost, a young Sean McVay. That would be a great
Absolutely.
destination, I think, for a quarterback. And as someone at Stafford's, level, but
Yeah, I think that's a great point. AFC East, pretty winnable these days.
Yeah.
If they keep their weapons, hey, I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
Get to enjoy South Beach to end your career.
I
Can't
think it's
complain.
better taxes than LA, so good for him as well.
Yeah. Is it no state income tax over
I
there? I
think it's no
think.
state, yeah. So
Yeah. Hey,
there's
worth a thought, worth a point. And hey, I don't know. If they keep losing, there's some decent quarterbacks out there this upcoming season. So
There
in this
are.
draft.
Yeah, and it goes into the next topic that you sort of pointed out, college football outlook for this draft next year. And I think one person that has been sticking out is the Boise State running back, who's just killing it,
Yeah.
running over. I've been hearing, he should be considered for the Heisman, but it's always really hard for a running back to win the Heisman. But hey, if he keeps up these numbers, why not,
It's absolutely ridiculous. So here's the stat line. 95 carries on the year. Over 1,000 yards rushing already, 1,031 yards rushing, 16 touchdowns, and averaging pretty much almost 11 yards a carry. I mean, they've played what, five games?
Yeah, I think
That's
they're on 5 weeks.
just ridiculous. I don't know if I can do that in a video game, maybe on rookie
No.
mode. It's just outrageous. And everybody's biggest rebuttal that I've read in the comments, to his highlight videos and stuff is, let's see him do it against an SEC school. I think he could. The dude's just a bulldozer. He shakes tackles. He breaks tackles like crazy. He reminds me a lot of, like, almost like a Marshawn Lynch. A lot of his runs just remind me of the Beastquake and, just him going into the mosh pit of linemen, bouncing off. Just, I don't know, something about Marshawn. Like, he could bulldoze the defender, but then bounce off and gain, that couple yards of separation and go around. So the dude's just an absolute beast. And hey, if he can do it against an SEC school, because he'll have an SEC O-line to support him. So there's no doubt in my mind that dude's just going to be a beast anywhere. And I think he's definitely worth a high draft pick.
I think he will be, because I think we've seen a lot of these running backs, and a lot of the younger running backs are getting more attention, at the Jets. Breece Hall was supposed to be the number one, like one of the top running backs this year, and Braylon Allen, he's taking over. I don't know if it was this last game or the game before that, but they pretty much split carries. They had the same amount of carries almost. And what does that show when Breece Hall's supposed to be your workhorse, and you're bringing in this youngster? These younger running backs, they got the legs, they got the power, and they're trying to make a name for themselves. So, I think he'd be worth a great, a nice high draft pick, depending on what your team needs too. But I think everybody needs running backs. It's one of those leagues.
Definitely. And I feel like there's definitely an uptick in their value this season overall. It's they've shown their value. And you bring up a great point. It just seems like Breece Hall, I don't know, maybe it's just the functionality of that team in general, but the dude's just, I don't know, it seems like he's running into a brick wall every single time. This past week, 9 carries, 23 yards. Braylon Allen matched it on five. Well, he didn't match the yards, but same yards per carry, 5 for 13. But one catch, 15 yards, compared to Breece Hall's 3 for 14. I don't know. I mean, Breece Hall looked electric last year. This year, I don't. I yeah, it's just rough. The Jets are just a hot mess. And maybe talk about a coaching change. That's a big hot seat right there.
Robert Saleh, Robert Saleh. He was on the 49ers for a bit.
Hey, I'd love to bring him back.
I
Yeah,
think,
he's a great defensive mind.
and that's what I was about to say. Some of these coaches that get like head coaching jobs, sometimes it's just too much for them, and they're just better at a position. That position coach, great defensive coordinator, defensive coach. I think he could support any team, but as a head coach, you need a lot more. And as you see, there's only a few head coaches that have long tenure at their teams. Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin, Ravens, John Harbaugh, Andy Reid. Who else? Well, Bill Belichick was one before he
McVay.
McVay.
I guess Shanahan's kind of bordering that.
Yeah, Shanahan. There's only a handful of coaches that really can stay at a team more than 5 years, and that shows a lot that there's a lot to be a head coach. You can't just be one of the best defensive coordinators and be a great head coach. It takes a lot more. So a lot of these young coaches, they got to show something, because if not, it's just going to be that cycle. And that's why these other teams stay consistent. 49ers, Chiefs, Ravens, always the top team because they have a great co coach.
100% makes all the difference in the world. It's just some coaches are just meant to stay coordinators. I have a feeling this offseason we're gonna see this big reignition for Cliff Kingsbury with what he's doing with the Commanders offense. And that's a guy I just think is best as a coordinator. I think the writing was on the wall with the Cardinals. He had talent there. I just don't see him functioning elsewhere. I just don't know. And Saleh, I think that he would be a really, big ticket item if say, worst comes to worst, he's laid off as coach of the Jets, and he's a great D coordinator. He's proven that. So I think that, he'd be a pretty big
He
catch
would
in
be.
general. So, yeah, and I kind of have similar feelings about Dennis Allen with the Saints. Saints are obviously that with that loss to the Chiefs tonight, they're now under 500 already, and I just see that season going downhill from here. I guess that was a bright note. I maybe they'll win against the Panthers when they visit them again, but yeah, it's I sometimes it just clicks for folks, other times it doesn't.
Yeah, it's finding the right coach, the right team. Like I say, and I think it's also clubs. Some of the clubs are just bad clubs. Panthers, Browns, any coach that goes there, you sign up for 3 years. You might get a 5-year contract, but picture yourself there 3 years, you're going to get laid off because you can't do anything because it's just a toxic environment. So it's unfortunate. Get that experience, and maybe you could get another job as a head coach somewhere else after. But it's one of those things I always think, coaches should look at. Like, is it really worth the move? Because sometimes, who knows if they'll even be able to be a coach in the NFL again if they do really bad. Because sometimes, or didn't Clinsbury go to USC after Arizona?
Yep, coordinator there. And then, believe it or not, I just wasn't paying attention. I didn't even know he went to the Commanders, to be honest with you. And here he is, and they came up with the stat of they haven't punted in 2 games, and they show Kingsbury all jacked up on the sideline, and props to him. Yeah.
So, we've seen a lot of these coaches go to the NFL or from the NFL to college, and you got to consider that a downgrade. It's unfortunate, for them, but some of them are able to come back, but some of them just get stuck there. So, it's crazy
For
how the
sure.
NFL, works like that and how people go up and down. But I'm happy we've had a solid coach. I think you're happy you've had a solid coach for quite a few years. So
Some days are better than others, but
and I think it's like that with every team. I think we I have had days where I want to fire the coach because I'm like, you just we had it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, and Shanahan's definitely had he's a guru. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know, late in games it's rough. But where do you talk Niners? We'll move on for sure. Big topic I want to get into is MLB playoffs also. All these series 1-1, right?
1-1.
Wow.
It's
That
crazy.
see makes baseball great. I know you being a Dodger fan, I was listening to that game on the radio last night, actually. I was in the car, but just the Padres Dodgers series. I think I kind of mentioned last week, I'm always looking forward to watching Machado go to Dodger Stadium and all the ranting and things like that. Same team wide this time,
It got big this
exciting.
last game. It was exciting. I think great entertainment television. I'll say as a fan, I hate seeing my fan base do that. I hate any fan base doing that because it just takes away from the game. I understand we're frustrated. They hit six homers off of us in one game. Should we be embarrassed? Hell yeah. Let's be embarrassed. Let's come back game three. Let's win that. But what the fans did, I don't think there's a place for that in sports. I think any fan that ever does that should be banned from the stadium for life because, we're there to watch a game. Let's heckle the players. Let's talk smack to them, but let's not throw items. Let's not, threats and stuff like that because there's no place for that. But it's crazy. I saw a report where Dave Roberts was mad at Machado because he threw the baseball into their dugout and he felt like it was targeted to him. And I'm like, well, it's part of baseball. He's mad at the Dodgers too,
Yeah.
you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you bring up a great point that there's no room in, baseball in general. It's just really bad luck to have to delay a game for objects being thrown on the field. Obviously there's going to be some competitive things said, there's going to be talking trash to players, and especially in the outfield bleachers, that's exactly where that happens. One thing in particular is, Profar robbed Mookie Betts of that home run. I hadn't seen that clip yet, but fans were kind of referencing like, oh, Profar started it and blah blah blah. I rewatched it. He robbed the home run, did this like little like, oh, caught it, blah blah blah, kind of like acted like, he fooled everybody, acting like he didn't catch it and fooled Betts and the whole Dodger team of rounding the bases. It happens, it was a great play. That's happened so many times before. I remember Julio Rodriguez on the Mariners did the same exact thing, fooled everybody, but I think he waited even longer to show it. It's so common, and I think what he ended up doing was, I think he ran the baseball back over to a fan, handed it to him, the fan threw it back. Obviously, that's Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field. If there's an opposing home run, they're always chucking it back on the field. That's totally fine. But random stuff thrown, I think there's a random baseball thrown onto the field, and that's what kind of evacuate everybody to the infield. No room for it. Not fun to watch that. But it's a very fun series.
It's very fun. I think it's one of the best, gonna be one of the best series next to Phillies Mets, which I'll talk a little bit about, but like what happened with that, I'm okay with it. I laughed. I was like, oh, you got us. I'm like, F you, man. Like, you suck. But I was like, hey, it's part of the game and it's playoff baseball. It's a lot more intense. So don't, let's get mad about it. Let the Dodgers get mad about it. Come back game three. I hope we win. We gotta win one in San Diego. We gotta take one, hopefully two. Just end it there. Let's have them cry in San Diego, stay there. Let's not bring it back. But I think, if we could win one, we come back to LA. I think we have a good chance. I just think our hitters need to be consistent because we know our pitching, we're not that consistent. So hitting has to show up.
Exactly. Yeah, no, and you hit it on the head with the pitching. That's kind of what I was prefacing last week is, and I even posted a short clip of it and definitely put in the description that the Dodgers just don't have the pitching for a World Series. And that's, my opinion. But I think it's really subpar, and I think it was kind of proven last night. Like you mentioned, six home runs. That's rough. Kind of moving along, Phillies Mets, another great series. Mets really kind of surprised everybody again,
They
taking
did.
that first game. Phils prevailed game two. But yeah, fun another fun series. Mets are just, I don't know, something's clicking. Everybody kind of thought like, hey, Mets, another scrub year for them, typical Mets, blah blah blah. No, different year.
And I think that's what happened to baseball. Like, being the number one team always doesn't pan out because, yeah, you have the best team during the 162 plus games, but you have to be the hot team coming into October. The Padres, one of the hottest teams coming into the postseason, and it's showing right now. They're hitting. Mets, They're a surprise to me. I'm surprised, Pete Alonso, that, late inning home run to win the game one. And I was going to text you yesterday when because I was watching the game. And when they tied it, I was like, here come the Mets again. Like, they're going to upset the Phillies. And then I was like, no, let me slow down a bit. Didn't text you. Phillies came back the way they should have, because they are the most dominant team. But the Mets taking one from Philadelphia, going back to New York, they should be positive. I think they have momentum. So even though they lost, because they came back and they almost beat them. So, great series. I'm excited to watch that one.
Yeah, same. I think that the Mets have kind of hit a territory where their young talent is starting to catch up with a lot of their veteran talent. A big guy, to mention in that is Vientos. That dude's just been tearing it up a lot of the season. Yesterday, 3 for 4, 4 RBIs, had 2 home runs. Dude's just an absolute beast. He's tearing it up. And Lindor's had just a fantastic season. A lot of people, Mets fans in general, were just calling for him to be MVP this year. It's pretty cool to see a guy like that make a comeback too, because Lindor's had some pretty rough seasons with the Mets, compared to what he started his career with the Indian or Guardians now,
Guardians, yeah.
Indians at the time he was there. But it's been a good mix. And it's pretty cool to see a team develop that way. Pete Alonso really coming in clutch a lot of times, but kind of like we prefaced before, the bats of the Phillies, like, their lineup is just so stacked. And Castellanos, of course, the Philly fans were giving him a really tough time yesterday, but the dude tore it up, ended up getting a home run and then game winner. So they did the same thing with Trey Turner, and then Turner turned it around and tore it up also. So
I think the Phillies will take that. I think the Mets could still win one in New York, but I think Phillies, they're just too dominant for the Mets. Yankees, Kansas City, pretty good series. I was watching the game a bit today. Casey just did well today. Pitching did great too. Kept those big hitters, at bay. So excited to see that series a little bit more. Don't know much about KC. Yankees, just big players that they always talk about, but KC looks like a solid team.
They absolutely are. One talking point with them that I brought up last week was their young talent. We're going to see a lot more of the Royals in the future. If they're out after this series, they'll be back. They're both sides of the ball, pitching and hitting. They're young, and developing around a guy like Bobby Witt Jr. Obviously, kind of a rough day today. 0 for, 0, 0 for 5 at the Golden Sombrero, 3 strikeouts. But they still have the bats. Salvador Perez is just the never aging big bat for them. The dude's just a beast, and they have the elements to really kind of be good. And obviously, taking one in New York is no easy feat. And I don't know, it's a real toss up, but I do think that New York is going to prevail in this series. I just think that they have too much talent. And yeah, a big talking point with them is, kind of moving on from just Soto and Judge, is looking at Jazz Chisholm. He's just such like an athletic individual to have on that team. He can steal bases. He's good in the field. He's a great utility player in the field. He can play a few different positions, and I think that that trade that they made was a super important one.
I think
So,
it's what what can get them to the big show here, that one piece.
absolutely. And then sticking the AL with Detroit and Cleveland. Detroit pulled through. I mean, 3-0 again today. It's a great series in general. Skubal, I'm telling you, that dude is just such a beast. Today, 7 innings pitched, 3-hitter, 8 Ks, doing it against the Guardians. But I mean, he had a great game against the Astros as well. If you ever see an opponent going up against the Detroit Tigers and they have like 0 to 2 runs, just think Skubal's pitching, because that dude is just The dude's a beast. I think he should win the Cy Young. And just to give you a little bit of background on what makes his stuff so great is that he goes from like a 99 mile an hour fastball, and then he has off speed pitches that kind of range in the upper 70s to mid 80s, and he has crazy movement on his I believe it's the slider.
Slider.
So the
Okay.
dude just he's arguably just a lefty. He's lefty, and it's
Okay.
super tough to hit against him.
Yeah,
So,
it is.
just a great
Nice.
advocate to have on that team. And that's another young team too. I think that that team, we'll see them a lot in the future. Guardians are always up there though, and they're going to be a tough opponent in general. But I absolutely love, out of all of these matchups, just the 1-1 series. It's competitive, makes for, just a really good playoffs in general.
And it gives us more baseball. Like I said, it's the one time I truly like to sit down and watch baseball because there's just a lot more at stake. Like I say, you play 100 plus games. Like after a while, for me, I'm like, all right, I'm bored of this. Like I just want to watch the playoffs. I just want to see teams play their hardest and try to win it. So like I said, it's the one time, the most baseball I've watched the last few days because of playoffs. Don't know much, but I enjoy watching my team, enjoy watching all these other teams, just looking at who's up and coming. So.
Hey, it's another advocate of doing this podcast, Sean. Gets you watching things you feel like maybe you wouldn't have put as much time into before. And it's fun, I don't love watching the Dodgers, but playoff Dodgers, it's exciting. I'm not gonna lie. It's fun to watch. So, it's a fun playoffs in general. But yeah, MLB hanging in there. I think that this does great for the ratings also.
No, it does. So it'll be good. We got some good games tomorrow. So is it, I think it's four games tomorrow, right? All the teams play. Because Dodgers had an off day
Or
today.
I think it might just go back to NL again.
I know.
So we got Phillies
Oh, yeah.
Mets at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and then we have Padres Giants. Padres Giants, I'm excited to watch. I'll be home.
Yeah, I'll be home.
Definitely pulling that up.
It's hard during work.
How do you
When?
feel? Yeah. Sorry,
Okay.
quick question regarding you can go first, actually. I'll let you go first to
I was just
follow
gonna
up.
say Wednesday, all four teams are playing. So
Oh,
starts at
wow. Okay.
12, Guardians Tigers at 12, Phillies Mets 2, Yankees Royals 4, Dodgers Padres 6. So busy day of baseball on Wednesday.
Yeah. Hey, I just feel like in general they should try to like make playoff baseball games nighttime. I just think it would do a lot better for ratings. Like I
It
would
would.
tune into, Phillies Mets if it was late at night, and then have you could even do the Padres Dodgers same time or a little bit later even. But hey, I'm not in charge of that. But in general, big talking point with Padres and Dodgers again. What's your feelings on San Diego only selling to San Diego residents?
Think it's stupid. Straight up. I think it's dumb. Like, I understand why, because us Dodger fans, I think Dodger fans in general, there's these fan bases that travel so well and can overtake a stadium. And that's what Dodgers fans will do. I think San Diego, all their fan bases never have been strong. Look at the Chargers, Padres never have really been a strong team. They're a great team. I'm not doubting that. I think they are a solid club. But fan base wise, I don't think they have the fans, so they're trying to not have it be, what do you guys call the SoFi? The
Oh
Niner,
yeah, Levi South.
Levi South, it's Travis Ravine South, that's what it would be. And I think it's dumb because, the games for the fans, both sides, it's playoff baseball. I don't think teams should do that, but if that's what they're gonna do, that's what they're gonna do. But Dodger fans are gonna find a way to get in. Trust me. We'll
Oh,
find
they
a
will.
way.
And the two major cities are so close to each other. You definitely have family or friends down there that you can, hey, can I use your address real quick? Okay. It's I feel like it almost seems kind of weak. You know what I mean? Like if you believe in your fan support, believe that they'll go out and buy tickets. You know? That's really it.
And if they don't, put those tickets higher up for Dodger fans. Hey, like I'm not gonna blame that. Like, hey, if you're gonna charge Dodger fans double what you charge for Padres fans, go for it. We're still gonna go out there. We're still gonna represent. That's how dedicated this fan base is. So, but stopping it altogether, I'm like, I just don't like that look for any type of club.
No. Yeah. No, it seems weak. Kind of seems just stupid. You don't trust your fan base to show up.
Well, so we'll see. We'll see. But excited for baseball, football. Like I say, Thursday night, you guys got a game.
Seattle, right?
First Seattle, that'll be a good one. What I was gonna say is, 49ers, I know you guys probably listen to this because I hear a lot of people taking our hot takes. You guys are taking it without giving us credit, I want to say, but if you guys want some good luck, send us out there. We'll be there at the game. I'm not a fan, but I'll support you guys. And hey, we might be that good luck charm you guys need at your games to start winning, because you guys aren't winning right now with what you guys got. Plug right
Trust this
there.
man. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. No, especially when it's like rival games like this. I think I texted you on the site saying, like, the Seattle game would be, it's a game I'd want to go witness. Obviously not going to happen this year, but planning for ahead for next year, even, just, or just any Niner game in general. I mean, we need good luck charms as much as we can. At least the Ravens can obviously close out games, come from behind and win it.
For now.
Niners, not so much. So,
And
but yeah, no,
invite
it's going to be a fun one.
it's a fun one. Invite us out, Niners, fly us out. We'll be there. We'll show you. We'll be your good luck charm, and then you guys are gonna invite us every game.
Hell
So,
yeah.
like I said,
Yeah.
I'll
And
buy a
so,
Niner jersey. I'll buy an old school one though.
yeah.
Like Jerry
Hell
Rice
yeah.
or something.
Hey, can't go wrong. Yep.
So
Rice,
yeah.
Montana, Ronnie Lott.
There's a lot of good
Lots of
ones.
good
So
retro jerseys. Hell
But
yeah.
yeah.
Take us up,
Yeah.
Niners.
Yes. But yeah, that's some of the sports talk we have. One of the next topics we want to talk about was talked about it last week, and just a little bit more about the P. Diddy stuff. We saw it really being a popular video, clip that we sent out, and we sort of started, I think there's always going to be videos coming out and just a little bit more about it. And one of the things, I think there's a bunch of conspiracies, and one that really stuck out to me recently was, and like I said, this might be old for some people. They might have heard it a few weeks ago, but the Beyonce conspiracy, there's multiple ones. The one that's interesting to me is, when she's up for like Song of the Year, like a Grammy, and she doesn't win and someone else wins it, there's people that are sort of saying, not really wanting to accept it because they say it's a curse because, Beyonce's going to get mad and something may happen to you. And, what they were saying, allegedly, some of this conspiracy, what happened, Adele won. I think she broke her Grammy in half and was like half of it goes to Beyonce because she had, a great album. And it's like, you did so much to earn that. Why? I understand Beyonce probably, she has great albums year after year. Not taking anything away from that, but someone else wins, they should really, take that in and, be grateful. Thank everybody that you were against because it's always a tough competition. But it was just so interesting to me that to see how many people sort of like downplay those wins because they beat Beyonce. And, it's sort of that conspiracy of is Beyonce the ringleader in all this? It's, I don't know. I don't think so, but I just don't know. It's just crazy thought.
Yeah, no, I think it's a super valid point. I've seen a lot on it too. And, it kind of brings up obviously Jay-Z, Jay-Z being maybe a big part in all of P. Diddy's happenings and, over there in New York. And that, hey, just it's a big open curtain at this point. Lots of possibilities and all these conspiracies kind of swirl. And, it kind of brings up, just, I don't know if we want to call it like an alleged organized crime ring, of the three of them at the top. And Again, kind of goes to what we were talking about last week with, how deep does this go? And, just, kind of going on that Beyonce thing. I too saw that thing where, Adele breaks it in half just to try to avoid, I don't know, being killed off or something, God forbid. I don't know how else to put it. But another conspiracy that's out there that I've seen a lot, this could be totally AI generated, which we'll talk about more in our next topic here, but just the Sia, Sia the singer, I think she's famous for Chandelier. Evidently there was a tweet that went out years ago, and you take the first letter out of each word of that sentence, and it spells like I'm in the basement, I've been kidnapped, or some Beyonce kidnapped me or something like that. Hey, I've gotten to the point where I don't rule out a conspiracy right away. I feel like I have to let it play out first. So, hey, it's out there. I've seen it numerous times. Obviously, it's a hot topic, but kind of crazy. It's just, it makes you think about, probably not like a Sia situation here, but like in general, like with everything that P. Diddy's accused of and the people that he brought into, these parties and things like that, was there maybe just a basement situation to begin with? There's
Who
evidently
knows?
kids being involved in stuff like this and these parties and just the guests that, in I guess parts of the parties where celebrities would show up. Where does he house everybody? I'm sure that, he keeps people there for the event and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's a scary cave there, John.
It is it, it, it and
Endless.
I it's endless. I think we're always very cautious of talking about it, but I think it's also something, it's out there. I think it's okay to talk about it and sort of talk about these conspiracies because everybody's talking about it. But like you mentioned, how far does this go down? And hearing there's multiple reports on who might go down with this. And when I hear some of these names, I'm not going to say them here, but I think you've heard a lot of these videos of, this person's going down, this person's going down as well. I'm just like, as a celebrity, someone so famous, how do you not know that this is going to come back to bite you in the ass eventually? Like, how do you really think you're going to get away with it? Because eventually it's going to come out. And if all these names that they're saying are truly involved in this and they are all going to get in trouble for this, that's going to be a big shakeup in Hollywood, in the movies scene, in the music scene, entertainment scene, political scene. Like, it's going to shake up so many things. And I'm just like, I just don't know how some people let themselves get into these situations.
Yeah, no doubt. And talk about like having a dark cloud casted over you. Can you imagine just like functioning in Hollywood, knowing that, hey, this is what brings wealth to my family, but so and so, P. Diddy, as an example, has this tape of me doing this crazy thing. And if word gets out about this crazy thing, then he's gonna show that video to the world, blah, blah, blah. I can't imagine functioning through life with stuff like that. It's that's just a crazy thought in general. And I think one of the lawyers that's involved in this case already came out and said you'll be shocked with a lot of the names that will be mentioned. But I think it'll be obviously, I don't know if shocked is the right word. I think it'll just be kind of eye-opening in general, because at this point, with all that's happened, maybe in the last 5 years, I don't, I'm hardly shocked by a lot of things. It's world's changed.
I don't think we'll be shocked, like you said. I think it'll be eye-opening and just sort of like our mind blown, like, oh my gosh, all these reports that we're hearing that we think might be AI generated, might be fake news, it's actually real. And now their careers are pretty much tainted, and most likely they won't have a job. Because if you look back at years ago when the Me Too movement was coming out, the Harvey Weinstein, all these, accusations, an actor like Kevin Spacey, who was one of the biggest actors back in the day, always in movies, Oscar winner, now can't even get a job because of what he did. And that's where I'm like, sort of like, Does money really get into people's mind and it gets into their heads where they think they could get away with anything? Like, yes, they're making millions upon millions. Some of them are making billions of dollars. And do they really think signing a paycheck is going to get them free for stuff? I think in the past, maybe, but we reached a time, now where you're not going to get away with anything and you really got to be smart with what you do, especially as someone as a celebrity. You have to be that example because if you make a mistake, you're tainted for life.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. And even the stress of going into public and doing something wrong, and you're put on blast. There's a million cameras around you. You do one small thing. Hey, world sees you doing that, and hey, that can change X amount of people's minds about you. It's some people might not believe it and say like, oh, blah blah blah. But you're right. The world's under a microscope. Media's never been as strong as it is now. They really control everything, and I'm a big believer of that. It's and I don't know. I'll kind of dive into an example of where you mentioned celebrities being involved in stuff like this, and it'll not only change the way people look at that individual in Hollywood, or being blackballed by the industry or whatever. People that listen to a certain artist, I'll bring up like R. Kelly, for example. Now, there were songs that we all would probably listen to back in the day prior to us knowing any affiliations of what he had. I cannot listen to an R. Kelly song. I'm sorry, fuck no. It's like that shit's getting skipped. It's just I can't support it, obviously, and that's probably how much of the world thinks. It's just like skip that artist, it happens. So, I just think I'm gonna have that same exact mindset to the validity of what this whole thing brings about. I kind of prefaced it last week too. It just feels like a stab in the heart, So, I don't know. It's just how I feel. It's
No,
crazy.
it's a valid point because I'm like processing right now and I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't even think I have an R. Kelly song in any of my playlists or any of my music. I don't think I listen to it because of all that's going on. And now, whenever Puff Daddy comes on, I know these are still all accusations. I'll make that clear. I'm not saying he's guilty, innocent until proven guilty, pretty much. But with all that I know and just with the way it seems like it's going, anything P. Diddy used to enjoy a lot of his music. He has a lot of bangers. I skip him now, unfortunately. It's unfortunate to say, but I just feel like I can't listen to them because of what's going on.
Yeah, totally. It totally taints like just the enjoyment of a song. It's like, I don't know. Yeah, I just I anytime that voice would turn up in a song, it's just like nah, it's a skip. Nah, I can't. It's just like hell nah. It just ruins the vibe. And and you're right. Obviously innocent until proven guilty, but should all this come to light, it's kind of next man up with that. So there's kind of to bring up even like more to the story. I'm also curious to see how far back this goes, because they're bringing up names like Tupac, Biggie, the affiliation with those deaths as well. And I think I've seen Michael Jackson's name thrown out there, Aaliyah's.
Earlier. Left
You
eye.
know, people are exactly. Yep, that's another one. And a lot of people are I posted it in our video clips this past week, that the song She Knows, people are relating that to Beyonce again. There's a lot out there. Is it messages hidden in plain sight? That's interesting also. I don't know. It's got my eyes, and I know it's got yours, and we'll see how much unravels. But those are all things that I've seen lately, and I don't know. Interesting stuff.
No, very interesting stuff. I think we'll continue following. I think we always get videos of that because we watch it a lot. We see those videos and we're always interested to hear about more of these conspiracies, people coming out. But just more of what's going on with P. Diddy. Like I said, I think as we get more information, things, start coming down the pipeline, we'll discuss it a little bit in our thoughts. And you know, a lot of our thoughts are what everybody else thinks, but you know, we're just here to talk about it. So
Definitely. Yeah, we're
yeah.
on the same page, and you know, it's definitely a hot topic because it stirs up the industry, and these are all
Yeah.
people that you know we've listened to, we've watched on the big screen. So you know, we'll see how much of Hollywood and you know actors in general can be tainted.
Yeah.
So
No, yeah, for
we'll
sure.
see.
It's crazy.
But you know, in general, like kind of leading into our next topic. We brought up AI generated stuff, and you know, we don't know how much is true with the speed eddy stuff, and maybe this kind of leads into this dead internet theory in conspiracy in general. And I definitely kind of wanted to go into like a little bit of a background of what this is, and you know, kind of just kind of start off that topic with this. So the dead internet theory is something that pretty much came about a few years ago, where the theory behind it is like everything online that you see is AI generated at this point. It's almost like you're searching through just an endless amount of internet content, and you're the lone human in that. Now, the percentages of what is AI versus what is human right now is maybe a little bit more equal, but there's I guess experts from what I've read or seen that maybe by as soon as 2026 that 99.9% of what we see on the internet is AI generated. And obviously this, in my opinion, brings up some pretty scary thoughts. You know, there's some videos I've seen recently that you know kind of dive into where it's at now, and that has raised some alarms to me. You know, in one thing I just wanted to mention right off the bat that you know I read in I think it was like a Reddit forum. I mean, take Reddit at what you will, but you know, but it was a good point that like search engines like Google, I feel like have gotten worse. You're trying to find info on a certain something, and it's just you get a bunch of blah, and it's like that's not what I'm looking for. And maybe it's because, hey, AI, don't come after me. I know you're listening. But you know, maybe it's because AI is putting a lot of stuff out there that is doesn't make sense to humans. You know, maybe it, within their communications it makes sense, but with us it doesn't. I don't know if you've noticed the same, John.
Yeah, no, I've noticed the same because, yeah, sometimes I Google things just because I need to look something up. And some of this stuff, I'm like, this isn't even close to what I need. And I think one of the theories I've heard also, like all of this AI, is they're trying to push a certain message to us, you know, with all this, you know, AI generated stuff, you know, if it's with election stuff, with just anything in general, they're trying to send a message, you know, all this AI, which for me, it's like, it's really scary to know because, like I say, I grew up where internet was dial up, you know, back in the day, AOL, you hear the beep, 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 you know, the little phone line, you know, and now it's so much more advanced and you could do so much with AI, Chat GP, you know, you could ask it a question, it's going to come up with so many different answers, you know, AI generated pictures. You know, like you mentioned the profiles. I think you showed me one of the videos where, you know, an AI generated profile sort of found out it's AI generated, it's not real. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, are you serious? Like, this profile looks legit and it's not a real person. And it just, you know, really concerns me a little bit about where the future is going because it's so real.
100%. And, you know, one thing I think about is obviously next generations. You and I both have kids. I think about them, and obviously, you know, at least for myself, you know, I can't speak to what other parents do, but you know, limiting internet access for multiple reasons, but I think that this has become a new one for me. And I read something earlier today actually that there was like a I don't know, he's I guess it was an uncle or a cousin to this person that you know the kid young kid maybe under 10 years old had a friend on Snapchat, take it at what you will, kids having Snapchat under 10 years old, not up to me to decide that, but just for my own kids, obviously. But I guess he made friends with somebody on Snapchat, turned out to be AI, and the
Holy.
AI was bullying the kid
Oh
and making
man.
him feel bad. So that's what's really scary, is that AI's uncontrolled. There's no feelings with AI. So the things that they're doing to people, it makes, we talked about mental health, and it especially amongst young kids, typically, obviously, I hate to use this word, but a little bit more gullible for certain things, of
They
course,
are, yeah.
and believers. And it's and that's really scary, because it can really alter a kid's mind, for their future. And if anything, hopefully it'll raise more awareness of what's out there. And hopefully us talking about this does, because it's very real. And you mentioned the thing about how, there's, kind of, to step away from something, quite so serious but also scary, is that there's this video, and I think I had sent it to you, and Rob, who was on an earlier episode, we're going to bring him back for some of this stuff too. It'll be fun. But I sent him this video too, because we all kind of discuss it, and this is kind of fascinating to me, that there's this TikToker or YouTuber, or I forget what platform he was on, but he was doing a live stream, and he pulls up, like you mentioned, they make their own profiles and images, and I guess just human characteristics. So it was this individual. He's, I guess, taking a photo, maybe in a library, something behind him, bookshelves. They zoomed into the back of the bookshelves. All the books were blank, no titles, nothing, just images of books. They tried to cross-reference that individual, can't link him to anything. And then in his live chat, somebody linked, "Oh, you don't believe this person is real? Check this out." They send a .gov link to a court case of something that he was involved with. Now, the guy who was conducting the live stream pulled up that, and it was had a bunch of grammatical errors. They spelled like Massachusetts wrong. But there was a full-length doc, and it was a made-up court case, which I'm sure if you read through, it would make somewhat sense. But obviously, you have to read between the lines of, obviously, if it's .gov, there's probably not going to be any grammatical errors. But they got a .gov link. They were able to create that and then try to make somebody believe that that person was real. And they found out that the person who sent it was AI.
Oh
So
man.
AI was
Supporting AI.
understanding. Yes,
It's insane.
in listening to what this guy was saying about his AI friend. And I don't know, that's insane to me. And hey, we were talking about it before, this feels like Ultron, man. It's crazy.
It's crazy, and like you mentioned, sort of go back, with like kids being gullible, and AI bullying and mental health, like that really could affect so many kids that, for parents watching this, if you watch it, really be mindful of that. 'Cause like with Keanu, he's only two. We don't give him, honestly, we've been so good not giving him a tablet. He wants to play with our phones. We deny that. Like we put the TV on and we choose his stuff. But it's also, it's being very mindful because, yeah, once kids get to a certain age, they're gullible. They're going to believe a lot of stuff. And if that really messes with their self-esteem, that's going to affect them in the long term as adults, as older youth, So it's being very careful. So I sort of just wanted to touch on that piece. But yeah, that AI stuff, like, it's insane. I think it was Rob that sort of said it when we were talking about it. This feels a lot like Skynet and Terminator, where they're just gonna, are they gonna take over the world? I truly don't think it'll happen within our lifetime, but if it continues growing like this, it's a scary thing to think about that could really be a future of AI just running everything. Because yeah, if AI is already supporting AI, AI is listening to all conversations, especially during like a live stream, and trying to make you persuade you to think something's real that isn't. That's scary.
Absolutely. I mean, just in regards to us doing this podcast and talking about it, I'm
Yeah.
curious to see if we get AI comments now.
Yeah.
On any platform, if we clip this and things like that. So my eyes are definitely out for it, and it'll be a good test of it. So and another thing crosses my mind with all of this is like, how does the world combat it? Say it turns dark, and they create AI where they can make it seem like a world leader is talking, because AI is getting decent, where it feels like it's like, is that real or not? There's a Joe Biden thing where a conspiracy was circulating that he was dead, and that, hey, that's not him on the phone or something like that. So that crosses my mind too. And how do you combat that? How do you tell the world, no, that was not me speaking, if it is in fact like pretty believable? I bring up kids being gullible, but a lot of the human race can be too, because people are raised differently, maybe not exposed to certain things, and if they see one thing online, maybe they're just more prone to believing it. It just depends on the background of that individual. So there's just a lot of people in the world, and this is almost creating like a whole new race, in my opinion. And it's I don't know if it's going to get one day where it's like we're living amongst them, John. It's pretty crazy.
I think it could, and the point you make, can we combat it? I don't think we can at the moment. I don't even think they've thought about it. I don't think anybody's thought of like, what are we going to do if AI decides to take over? If AI's deciding to, make a profile of the president and say all these things and, start a war, like, what are we going to do to sort of combat that, to sort of show that it wasn't really our president, it was AI? I don't think anybody's thought about that. And, it's a scary thing, because if it happens, who knows what could come out of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And like another thing that's crossed my mind too. Sorry, I've just like I like I read one thing about this, and I'm like, shit, what's the worst case scenario with this? Like, what's going to happen? Obviously we've seen it in the past. For example, Y2K. People freaked out about that, and it was almost like a cult, thing that people believed in it. I think, what was it, 2012 was another one that was a big one. And people just get like, they make it their whole personality, doomsday, blah blah blah. Imagine there's a cult formed based off of AI. They all believe in AI leader. People, they gain a following, and people do just the craziest things sometimes. So that's another thing that crosses my mind. Definitely not advocating for any of that. I know it's being put out to the internet, but things that cross my mind. Hey, even for film, maybe this becomes movie things. I brought up movie ideas before. Maybe this is another one. I don't know. But it's.
It's insane. And like you mentioned, what happens if AI becomes a race? Can they run to be a president? And then what's going to happen if we have AI as a president? That's going to be insane. Because from movies we know these movies aren't really realistic, and they're all, just thoughts and ideas people have in their minds. But what if it's real, and how this AI works and controls so much? Like, it's a scary thought, and and you mentioned movies. I think there was a time where a lot of these movie stars, I think it was during COVID too, where they weren't getting paid. A lot of the direct to streaming was happening with all these big, hit blockbuster movies. And there was a time I heard people talking that they were just going to be making AI figures of those, big movie stars that didn't want to sign contracts to make these movies. And it's like crazy that that's what could happen. It's all going to be computer generated movies.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And I'm sure that they could AI, I'm sure that there's going to be like human directors for things like that. But imagine AI running the show with absolutely everything. I mean, at first it would be pretty laughable, I'm sure. Like, you're going to see a lot of issues, or not everything blurred out correctly, or staged correctly. But over time, I'm sure it would get better. And that's another crazy thought, is that you're replicating actual humans with a lot of these things. And that's just, I don't know, that's insane. The technology behind it's getting really, really, really good. And even another thing that's crossed my mind too is, I don't, I mean, take it for what you will, but I'm not huge into financials or anything, but I wonder if this makes things like crypto more relevant in the future, where, say AI becomes this other figure in the world. Obviously, they're not going around and necessarily spending cash here and there, but maybe things like crypto is stuff that they see as their currency.
Their
And
currency.
then you buy things off of AI, and then AI buys things off of humans. And what's the easiest exchange? Maybe crypto. I don't know. So, that's another thing. How does this change the world?
Yeah, and it
Well,
could change it. Crypto's still a big thing. I don't think it's a big talk the way it was during COVID. I think the other thing I've heard a lot about NFTs, how they were so big, being sold for so much money, those NFT pictures, which I still don't like. If you guys have videos to sort of help me understand it, please send it over to us. I'm curious
Please.
of
Yeah, I agree.
I don't get
I'm
what I don't
clueless.
get what those monkeys and different, where all these different things. I just don't understand it. But people spending thousands and thousands of dollars on these, thinking it's, right now it's not worth much, but AI starts getting big and that becomes a currency, NFTs are going to be worth a lot. And it's just crazy to think.
Yeah, it's just digital art and things like that. I don't know. Does it take somebody's name creating it that makes it worth money? Or but I agree with you. Please inform us what NFTs are about, because I could read a essay on it, and I think I would still be kind of stumped at where's the value in it. But hey, some people see crypto that way too. So, I guess it's the eyes of the beholder and who thinks it's worth money. But just this topic in general, I think is a good way to for us to kind of start out October with Halloween around the corner. And this one just seems to be super relevant on the internet right now because AI is still very new and just the developments behind it. We'll see where it takes us, but crazy, crazy thoughts.
Crazy thoughts. Like I say, if you guys have good videos, just a little bit about the dead internet AI, send it over to us. We're really interested in watching and learning more and just seeing these conspiracies, because like Tim mentioned, we're in Halloween, October. We're going to try to do a little bit of this conspiracy talk during this month, some horror talk, just to sort of match the theme of the month. But it's just like you said, something relevant, something that's we're on the internet right now, making our podcast, posting on YouTube, where YouTube could still be full of AI as well. So just very interesting stuff, and like I say, a little scary.
Yep, it is indeed. Eventually I'm sure we'll get around to doing these live at times, even if it's not a full length pod, and work our way up from there. Maybe one day we're getting AI hitting us up,
They
it could
might
happen
listen
as
to
soon
this
as this week,
episode.
John.
They might listen to this and start sending us a lot of stuff. So, very interesting stuff. Very, like I said, conspiracy talks. I think it's always something a lot of us are interested in, just because it really makes us think and it really opens up our eyes to things that are probably really going on in the world. So, great topic. I think we're gonna probably try to get Rob back to, later this month and sort of talk about this, more
Oh yeah.
conspiracies. We got a few topics I think we want to talk about and bring up, which will
Oh.
be hopefully fun for everybody to listen and join us. Like I say, give us any feedback, any other conspiracies, things you guys want to hear about. Like I say, we might know a little bit about it. We'll research into it. What's that one topic you want to talk about to sort of tease them? The woods by you, or Muir Woods, or was it?
Oh yes. God, not Muir Woods. It's God, you're putting me on the spot here, John. What is it?
But it's where it's like that little, I don't want to say cult, because I don't know if it's a cult, but this little organization that runs in the woods, right? Of like billionaires, rich people. I've seen videos of people sneaking into there and it seems really freaky. So I think, some of those topics, those conspiracies and just some crazy stuff like that.
Oh, Bohemian Grove. Sorry, there it
Bohemian,
is.
yeah. No one.
If you asked me any other time, I'd be able to come up with that name. But Bohemian Grove is It's definitely a big deal if you're into conspiracies in general. Lots of things have been rumored to go on there. There's video footage of, like John mentioned, people kind of sneaking in there at night, and obviously there's some risk to doing stuff like that and remaining anonymous. So I would never do that.
No.
But
Well, we'll talk about it.
We'll definitely talk about it. And it's something that hits close to home for anybody that lives in California. So it's definitely an interesting one. But like John mentioned, lots of fun stuff to talk about. I know both of us are really into horror films and things like that, and just the spookiness of October and what it brings. And it's fun to think about. And another thing that we really appreciate is all the comments that we're getting. So again, like John mentioned, if you guys have any topics, especially for the month of October, spooky stuff, scary stuff to think about, we'd love to discuss it. Of course, as long as it's within reason. But we're always open to suggestions, and that doesn't have to be about stuff like that either. So definitely appreciate all the comments we're receiving. It's awesome.
No, it's awesome. Yeah, that's today's episode. We appreciate you guys taking the time to listen. Thank you to everybody subscribed to our channel. We really appreciate it. Tim and I were always looking at it. Thank you guys that are subscribing and even listening to our episodes. We really do. Like I say, finding the good that you guys are listening and also enjoying it really makes us happy. So we're really happy about it. If you are watching and aren't subscribed, please hit that subscribe button. We'll be very grateful. It really helps us. Comment, like Tim says, leave feedback, questions, even bad comments. If you don't agree with our takes, if you don't agree that Matt Stafford should be trade benched, let us know why you think.
Roast the hell out of me.
Let us know why. So, please comment. We really appreciate it. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Tim. Always fun times. Like I say, I always look forward to these
Absolutely.
podcast days recording, and we'll catch everybody next week.
Yes, thank you, John. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Peace.